Turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We're going to continue. Lots of lessons we can learn from the life of Jonah. And God has laid it on my heart to teach you some of those lessons. And don't get bored. It's going to be good. Amen. God's word is always good, right? I tell you what, there ain't nothing like it. Give you a moment to get there. I guess pretty much everybody remembers being taught about Jonah and the whale, right? As a boy, that's one of my favorite stories. That really caught my attention. And believe it or not, there's even folks out there that don't know the Word of God have heard about Jonah and the whale. It got their attention. But we all know the story, right? Thus far, God told his prophet to go to Nineveh. Prophet rebelled and disobeyed God and got on a boat and went the opposite way, right? You'll always get yourself in trouble by not doing what God tells you to do in the first place. I don't know why. I guess we're thick-skulled, we're hard-headed. And the sad thing is, go ahead. But I guarantee you, eventually, you're going to do what God intends on you to do if you're his child. So he gets on a boat, goes the opposite way. Great storm came upon that ship. Sailors ended up tossing him overboard. And now, as verse 17 at the end of chapter 1 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Notice it says that the Lord prepared that great fish to swallow Jonah. Think about that for a second. Is there anything impossible for God? And by the way, I have no problem believing that a fish swallowed a man whole. And there'd be some skeptics out in the world today say, oh no, that's impossible. Hey, there's some catfish I've seen that looked big enough to swallow a man whole. There's no problem if God prepared a great fish to do it. Amen. But anyways, let's look at verse 2. We're going to look at prayers from the deep this morning. Look at verse 2, and it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. Depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was upon me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's pray. I love you and praise you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. Thank you for those, Lord, that are here today in your sanctuary. Thank you. We've been able to come and to worship you today in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we miss those that aren't with us. Lord, those that are sick and afflicted and other commitments and whatnot. Maybe they're at work. We just pray for them and just ask that you bring them back to us. Again, Lord, we're thankful for this privilege and honor of breaking the bread of life. I just pray your blessing on it. Pray you'll give me boldness and authority to preach those things you've laid upon my heart. thank you again, all you do for us. I'm thankful that you love us. You're a merciful God. Even when we rebel and disobey, Lord, you're always there. You promised to never leave us or forsake us, and I'm so thankful for that, Lord. Again, Lord, I don't know the hearts of those that are here. You know their spiritual condition. I just pray that whoever needs to come, may they have liberty to do so. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Again, he rebelled against God. He got tossed overboard. God prepared a great fish to swallow him. And that great fish, Jesus said, was a whale. There's other theologians that said, well, no, it was like a sturgeon, and there was other. The main thing is this. What did Jesus say? If he said it was a whale, it's a whale. Doesn't matter if it's a shark whale. Amen. Blue whale. It doesn't matter. The point is, it swallowed him. Okay? I have no problem believing what the Word of God says. How about you this morning? When God says something, we are to believe him. Because there's nothing impossible for him. Now, he rebelled. He was disobedient. And now, he's fixing to be chastened of God. Let me ask you a question before we even get started. How many of you this morning have ever faced the chastening hand of God? If you've served God for any length of period, believe me, the Lord has whipped your tail and got your attention. That's just our nature. I'm not saying it's good to rebel because you're never going to win that battle and you don't want to do that. You are to do what God tells you to do the first time. You see, God wants obedience. He has a plan for us. He wants us to follow that plan. He wants us to be submitted to His will for us. But when we disobey, listen to me, He's going to chasten you. You say, well, why does God do that? Because He loves you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, God prepared this great fish. They threw Jonah overboard. And guess what happened? Swallowed whole. Now, I don't know about you, but that would kind of be terrifying. Anybody ever noodle fished? You know what noodling is? It's when these big catfish back home, and they're big, 25, 30 pounders. You get in a river, and you drop down, and you know, there's rocks, and there's old trees and whatnot, and you got your head above water. You don't have no goggles on so you can see anything. You just stick your hand down through some rocks and shove your fist into a fish's mouth if there's a fish there, and then you bring him out. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I've never done it. I've watched it, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, them folks ain't right. Amen? They're just not right. Now, I like to eat catfish. I love catfish. But I'd rather catch one on a trot line or a yo-yo or a jug or on a fishing pole or rod than to stick my hand with nothing to see but just blind faith and shove my fist into something's mouth. No. Now that's with an arm. How do you think Jonah felt when this whale or this great fish, if you will, swallowed him whole? Now, Jonah had the same response me and you would have had when we got swallowed, if we got swallowed. Look at what it says. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Amen. The very first thing, listen, he prayed. I can't think of a better time to pray than to be swallowed by a fish. Amen. I'm going to call on the Lord. And Jonah prayed to the Lord. Listen, he got swallowed whole. And I want you to understand, I've never met anybody that's been swallowed whole by a fish. But it would have had to have been terrifying. I mean, swallowed hole, and you're there, and there's probably water sloshing everywhere, seaweed, the stench. Think about it, the slime, if you will, all the other fish that this well has eaten, and the darkness, which is a picture of being separated from God. And you need to understand this morning, when you and I are disobedient, and we are out of the will of God because we're living in sin and we've become worldly, that's a picture of that very thing, being separated from God. But praise God, no, Jonah had enough sense to call on the name of the Lord. And anytime I've ever gotten out of God's will and he's had to chasten me, and by the way, he's chastened me before, at least I've had enough sense to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. How about you this morning? Because he's the only one we can pray to and call on. Amen? Now it says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. It's quite a depth. You see, Jonah wasn't up in front around the mouth of that great fish. He was down in the belly, which is a picture of being down in the very dark dregs of darkness, which is another picture of sin. And by the way, when we sin, and we do from time to time, when we sin, it might feel good to the flesh for a short period of time, but the bottom line is, it's willful disobedience against God. To know to do good and not to do it to him. Who? God. It's sin. It's sin. So here he is. He prays. He called on the name of the Lord. And by the way, I'll ask you, how many times have you and I went through trials? How many times have we ever faced something? Did you automatically turn to God? You should. But I'll go one better than that. How many times have you called on the Lord and it seemed like God didn't hear you? There ever been a time like that in your life, waiting on the Lord? Lord, did you ever stop to think it's not because God's forsaken you? It's because you still hadn't come to the place of repentance and conviction. Oh, you know in your mind, but conviction comes from the heart. You see, the psalmist said that the Lord hears those that have a broken heart and saveth those that have a contrite spirit. You see, when you call on the Lord and you know you've done something because he's chastening you, you have to call upon him knowing and being ready to fully repent. You got to be broken over your sin. Too many people have that attitude. Well, I'll confess my sin. What you're confessing is you got caught. Lord, you saw, you know I messed up. But there's no true repentance. See, true repentance means, God, I have sinned against you. I did this against you. And I'm sorry. And you mean it with a heart. Now, back to Jonah. He prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Notice what he said. He said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. What was his affliction? Listen. He was afflicted. Why was he afflicted? Because he was being chastened, because he rebelled against God and didn't do what God told him to do. And because of it, he was afflicted. Can I ask you, how many times have we not done what God told us to do? I'm sure all of us can attest there have been times we've been afflicted and we brought the affliction upon ourselves. Amen. Upon ourselves. And it says, and this is what I love. And I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Who did he cry to? To the Lord. And what does it say? He heard me. You say, well, wait a second. Didn't he disobey God? Didn't God have a reason to be mad at him? Listen. God offers grace. And that grace never runs out. That mercy never runs out. I don't care how many times we mess up. He's got plenty enough grace and mercy for us. Now, don't get me wrong. When we mess up, we have to fess up and we have to understand we are accountable for our actions and he still may have to correct us. See, I think everybody's, some folks have it in their mind, well, I ask God to forgive me. I confessed it. I'm good as gold. Let's go. Till I mess up again. It doesn't work that way, y'all. Because God's character is holy and righteous. He requires that we do our best. Now, I'm not going to say you and I are going to ever be perfect because we can't be. But our Savior was perfect. And aren't we trying to pattern ourselves after our Savior day by day? Now, he cried to the Lord, and it says, he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I. And notice, that word hell is the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for hell is Sheol. And it is the underworld or place of the dead. And Jonah cried out from the belly of hell. You see, Jonah truly didn't know if he was going to survive this or not. You ever been in a position where you didn't know if you was going to live or die? You ever faced something? Ever had a gun pulled on you? I have. Twice in my life. Once by a bootlegger in Arkansas. And once by a man that has lost his wife. And his kids. He was an alcoholic. He was an abuser. And I went to talk to him. And he was about 3/4 drunk. And when I come through the door, he just pulled a gun and put it right to my head. Said, I don't want nothing you have. I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. And I said, well, that's your prerogative. But I am here because I felt God would have me to do that. I just want to talk to you about God. He's the answer. I'm not going to say you're going to get your wife back. I'm going to say you get your kids back. But I'm going to tell you this. God does love you. He sent his son to die for you. And if you'll trust him, he'll change your life. But my point is, Lori had told me, don't go over there. That guy's crazy. I have a bad feeling. Don't go over there. Well, I didn't really feel like going over there, but the Spirit just overwhelmed me. I have to go. And there comes a time we have to either put up or shut up. We say we trust God. Do you trust him or not? I want to tell you, you're going to be trusting God, you can get a gun stuck in your head. But I wasn't scared of heaven. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. All of us here will probably agree with what I'm fixing to say. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but I am in no hurry to get there. Amen. Now, I want the Lord to come back. I want to go by rapture. But if the Lord does delay his coming, I would like to see, well, I've seen my kids grown. I'd like to see my grandkids grown, and they're growing pretty quick. And I'd like to spend as much time with my brothers and sisters as God will allow. But if he decides it's time to go, I'm okay with it because I know where I'm going. How about you? Now, he called it hell, the underworld, place of death, spiritual death, and physical death because he didn't know if he would survive or not. And I'll say it. You might survive physically if you come under an ailment. You might get shot. You might get stabbed. You might survive those physically. But listen to me. You will never survive spiritually unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Spiritually, you won't survive. Now, he cried out to the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Notice twice, he says, God has heard me. And he wasn't angry at God. You know, most people, when they're chastened, what do? They get mad at God. But the point is, the reason God had to chasten them is because they messed up, not God. And God's only doing it not to punish them, but to get them get back to where they're supposed to be in service. So Jonah realized it wasn't God's fault. What did he tell the sailors when they threw him overboard? I'm him. I'm the reason. And he fessed up to it. He wasn't angry at God. The sad thing is, most people get mad at God when they mess up. They want to blame him. Well, God, it's your fault. You shouldn't have put that temptation in my... God didn't put that temptation in me. It's the devil that does the tempting. It ain't God. He can't tempt. And I'll go ahead and throw this in. Believe it or not, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin. A lot of people say, oh, I thought a bad thought. I'm tempted to do... That's not a sin. It's when you give in to that temptation that it becomes sin. And don't say that, oh, I never get tempted. You're lying. You're not right with the Lord. I'll say that. Because if you're right with the Lord, temptation's going to come knocking all the time. That's why you've got to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? So you can withstand those fiery darts. Of who Satan, he keeps firing them at me. Thank God for the shield of faith. Amen. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Lord. Now notice, he heard my voice. At least Jonah was willing to call out to God. When are you going to call out to him, child of God? You know who you are. You know where your walk is. You keep wandering, you keep getting farther and farther away. When are you going to heed and call out to the Lord? Just like the prodigal, I will arise and I'll go to my father. He came to his senses. When are you going to do that? Now it says, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. Who cast him there? Jonah acknowledged, God, you did. He understood chastening. Do you understand that, child of God? Whom he loves, he chastens. And it says, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. And all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. All right. He calls out to God. He knows God hears him. And he begins to see the sovereignty of God through those billows and those waves and the sea. You see, he began to see, this is the Lord dealing with me. Child of God, God will always deal with his. Amen? Always deal with you. Why? Because he loves you. And you belong to him. And understand, you've been bought with a price. Amen. Now, notice. And then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight. Recognized the sovereignty of God, and he realized, oh my goodness, I'm cast out of your sight. I can't think any sadder words from a child of God to say that, God, I'm cast out of your sight. You don't even know me. You don't even see me. I'm all here alone. Yes, I've called upon you, and I know you've heard my voice, but I'm here alone. Think about 3 days and three nights in that fish. I think he had a lot of time to contemplate and to think about his actions. And he said, Lord, I'm cast out of your sight. But the thing is, no, he wasn't. Jesus knows exactly where you and I are at all times. Even when we are as far away from him as we can be in our walk, he still knows our name. He still knows where we are. And we're never alone. So I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Again, I'm cast out of your sight, but yet I'm going to look toward the holy temple. Remember, Jonah was a Jew, and they were taught to find God, you must look to the temple. And what he's saying there is, even though I'm cast away from you, I'm out of your sight, I am going to look to the temple. I'm going to look to you, God. And beloved, that's the conclusion we all need to come to in this life. No matter what the circumstances. And by the way, that was quite a circumstance. Amen. We've all been through circumstances, and sometimes those circumstances can come upon us quick. Other times, they can come upon us and seem like they just linger and linger and linger, and we wonder, God, where are you? I'm praying, I'm doing everything that I can. Where are you, God? He's right there, but he's trying to get you where you need to be. Jonah said, I'm going to look to the temple because the temple represents the dwelling of God. So he looks to the temple. He looks to God. Whatever you're going through, the answer is God. Look to him. Look to him. And look at this. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. And the weeds were wrapped about my head. He looked to God, he called upon him. If you'll notice, it says, the water compassed about it, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. Think about that. The depth. Depth of what? The water? Well, I imagine that Will had to do some traveling, swimming, didn't he? To get Jonah. By the way, talking about a GPS. The Will had a GPS because God was guiding him to where he's going to be spitting Jonah out upon dry land. But he's going. That word depth isn't what you think in this prayer. He's talking about the water compassing him and the depth and the weeds wrapped around his head. Jonah is talking about his disobedience and his sin of rebellion. My question to you this morning is, what sin do you have wrapped around your head? We call it seaweed, weeds. What weeds are keeping us from being obedient, following the will of God? What weeds are in your life? And if you'll be honest with God, you know what they are. He knows what they are. Are you willing to pull them away? Forsake them? Turn from them? Because that's the only way you're going to please the Lord. And that's the only way you're going to have His blessing and joy in your life. See, that's what I can't get across to God's people enough. If you want the blessings and the joy of the Lord, then you've got to be obedient and follow His will for your life. Oh, the world will offer you stuff. The devil will show you little trinkets. And you'll think, oh, I want that. I want that. And God goes, okay, go ahead. And you know what's funny? Every child of God will jump at that trinket there. I want it. And then when they get it, they realize, I don't think that's what I wanted in the first place. Been there, haven't we? But we thought, oh, we just got to have it. God says, okay, you can have it. It'll teach you a lesson, go right ahead. And then you get it and you say, oh, I didn't want this, Lord. What was I thinking? You wouldn't. And now you're going to pay for it. Amen. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Think about that for a second. What's he picturing? He was imprisoned to his sin. It held him as bars. You know, if you'll notice, if you ever watch National Geographic, they show bottoms of the seas and the rivers and the oceans. You see rocks and formations and all of that. You can't, you know, you can't just go straight. Sometimes you got to go up and over, kind of like bars. And that's what he's talking about. But notice, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Who brings life? Jesus. God gives life. And it's the greatest thing. It's a gift. Physical life is a gift. We should cherish physical life. But spiritual life is the greatest. Knowing you are at peace with God. Knowing there is nothing that separates you from Him. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. His soul fainted. Yeah, I think it would. 3 days and three nights. And by the way, those 3 days and three nights, what do they represent in the Old Testament? It's a picture of Jesus' death and resurrection. But he said his soul fainted, but I remembered the Lord. My prayer came unto me, to thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You ever believed a lie to be the truth? You know it was a lie, but you held on to it like it was truth. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Even in the midst of hell, I don't know if I'm going to live, I'm going to die, but I'm going to trust you, Lord. Even though I rebelled against you, even though I was willfully disobedient, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm sorry. I acknowledge my sin. And I ask that you forgive me. Look at what it says. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. What was he paying? What did he vow? Well, God called him to be a prophet of the gospel, a minister. And he finally got it right. I guess I better go to Nineveh. May not want to go, but I better go. Because that's what he's called me to do. And then notice what he said. And this is these five words. You are to underline them in your Bible because they're precious. Salvation is of the Lord. Where salvation come from? The Lord. It's of the Lord. And he was rejoicing that God didn't know when, didn't know how, but he had faith that God would give him salvation. What I mean by that is deliver him from his chastening. And salvation's of the Lord. And listen, the message needed to be preached to some barbaric people called Ninevites. And the Lord spake unto the fish. Do you know God can talk to anything? Animal kingdom? He can talk to them. Some of you, when I see you talking to animals, I wonder about you. Me and Lori went to the L.A. Zoo. I'll never forget. Went to the L.A. Zoo. We had Anthony. He's just a little guy. Took him to the zoo. And she goes, oh, let's go see the monkeys. I said, all right, I'll go look at your family. Let's go. Let's go. We get there. Oh, I did say that. I didn't tell you. She ribbed me, hit me with her elbow on the ribs. Nearly knocked my breath out. But we get there, and the Lord is my witness. There was a woman trying to talk to these monkeys. And she was there, making some kind of, and the monkeys just looked at her. And of course, everybody, we stopped looking at the monkeys. We were just looking at this crazy woman. And she's talking to these monkeys. Anyways, finally, this one monkey had a perch, and he jumped from that perch to that wire around the cage where she was at. She had her lips. And that monkey grabbed hold of her lips. And talking about cracking up, everybody there was in tears. I laughed. I had tears in my eyes. And she's going, and I mean, by the time that monkey was done, she had some lips on her. And she's back there trying to pull. And anyways, to make a long story short, she thought she could talk to animals. I guess she thought she had a little Dr. Doolittle in her. That monkey begged to differ. Amen? But God can talk to an animal. He spoke to that fish and told that fish, after Jonah got right with God, to, hey, spit him out. And I believe with all my heart, wasn't there to see it with my own eyes, but I believe it was instantaneous. Amen? Out. He got vomited upon dry land. Now, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this concerning this prayer. Even when we willfully are disobedient and we don't follow God's plan and His will for our lives, and yes, sometimes He has to send a whale to get our attention, to swallow us. And even though it's uncomfortable, it's still for our good. And when we get right with God, then He will get us back on track to do what we were supposed to do in the first place. Now, it's not comfortable in a whale's belly. Anybody ever been in a whale's belly? Anytime you're disobedient with God, you're in a whale's belly. It's not comfortable. And there's a reason it's not comfortable, because God wants you to get right. But some of us stay in the whale's belly longer than others. And my question to you this morning is, how long is it going to take you to stay in the whale's belly? I've been there, don't like it. I'm smart enough to get right. How about you? Or are you going to continue in the whale's belly? If that takes you longer, that's fine. That's the place you need to be, because the bottom line is you've got to get right with God. There is a price to pay for disobedience. If Jonah teaches us anything, God loves people. He wants the best for people. He wants people to be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. But if we're going to be disobedient, he will use whatever means is necessary. And if it's a whale to swallow you and you have to get in the belly of a whale, so be it. Because there is consequences for our actions. Chapter 2 deals with rebellion in the life of a child of God. I don't know what's keeping you from reaching your potential. I don't know what God's purpose is for you. He might want you to teach, preach. He might want you to serve in many, many different capacities. I know he wants you to serve him. The point is, when are you going to surrender and do it? Because he is going to use whatever it takes. Some of you know your walk with the Lord isn't what it once was. Kind of strayed a little bit. Kind of got lackadaisical. You were once on fire. You once read the Bible more than once a week. You once prayed more than just when you come to church. You once told people about the Lord more than just every now and then. What does God have to do to get your attention this morning? Been in a well, belly of a well. Not a fun place to be. And I bet you if Jonah was standing before us, we looked at him in shock and awe what he looked like, because they said the acidic that well produced would turn the skin, bleach it literally white. All of his hair would fall out. He would be a sight. But if he was here, I think he would tell all of us, hey, you guys, let me save you a lot of heartache. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of us, man. Fearing, obeying. See, when Jonah decided to submit to God and call on God, he got his heart right. God heard, accepted his repentance, and delivered him from his chastisement. Anybody here need to be delivered from chastisement? Only way you're going to stop the chastening hand of God is to get right with God. Are you right? I pray you are. In close. Seems extreme. God, prepare a fish to swallow you. Seems extreme. God would allow you to be in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Seems extreme. But God will do whatever it takes to get our hearts right with him. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, your heart's not right. You've got sin in your life. You're backslid. Your heart's not right. What does he need to do to get you right? He'll do it. He'll do it.